Hello, welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you. So glad that you're joining us today. So I'm doing something a little different. I'm going to do the recording on Facebook Live. So if you're listening to this broadcast, you're not able to do the Facebook Live, but today we're doing it on Facebook Live as well. And so I can't recognize those who are tuning in, but if you're tuning in today from Facebook Live, I say welcome. Glad that you're joining us today. This is Hope for Your Heart, a daily broadcast of Hickory Ridge Community Church. And by the way, if you're looking for a place to worship, I'd encourage you to come to Hickory Ridge Community Church. This Sunday, we're doing drive-in church. On May 31st, we'll be back to our regular schedule, and that's going to be 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, May 31st. But the next two Sundays, we'll be meeting at the same time with drive-in church at 10 a.m. Glad to have you worship with us. Hope you come in and join us. So I'm going to be sharing today, every Monday broadcast, what I do is I share what happened at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. And so last weekend, as you know, was Mother's Day. And I know this is a couple weeks out as you're listening to it, but a Mother's Day message is always relevant. And there's something very special about moms. When I did this message, I asked everybody, if you're a mom, honk your horn. And half of the people honked their horn. And then I said, if you have a mom, honk your horn. And everybody honked their horn because the one thing that we all have in common, every single one of us have moms. And we are much better because of our moms. Well, they did a survey not too long ago, a British survey, and 40% of the moms received unwanted Mother's Day gifts. So if this fits you, I hope that next year will be a better Mother's Day gift for you. I want to begin today by thanking Preston for doing the broadcast today. He does a tremendous job getting everything right and sounding good. And so all of you who are joining on Facebook Live, I say hello to you. But I'm going back to this British survey. 40% of the moms have received unwanted Mother's Day gifts. And I thought I'd just share a few of these unwanted Mother's Day gifts that were given. The first one was deodorant. So mom receives deodorant for Mother's Day. Here's the second one, a fire extinguisher. How about this one? Cleaning supplies. Somebody one time gave their mom a stick of French bread. Somebody gave their mom French salad dressing. Well, how about this one? Popcorn. Now, this one was very unusual. One son gave his mom ants for Mother's Day. Well, how about this one? Hair dye. A screwdriver. A toilet roll. A calculator. And I love this last one. Somebody gave their mom car parts for Mother's Day. And as you think about Mother's Day, it's a time to honor our mothers. And there was another newspaper article that was run that I thought was really funny. And it's entitled 20 Awful Mother's Day Cards That You Absolutely Should Not Buy. Do not buy these Mother's Day cards. Here's the first one. Mom, thanks for always checking up on me. With a picture of a cell phone with 24 unanswered calls from mom. Here's the next one. This card says, well, I guess this Mother's Day card is late. Looks like somebody wasn't raised properly. And then this next card says, Mom, I'm awesome. You're welcome to the luckiest mom ever. This card here was sent by a son to his mom. Mom, I love you loads. And there's a picture of a laundry basket overflowing with clothes. And he says, speaking of loads, can you do my laundry? So we think about these humorous things. And again, these are things that you should not give to your mom, cards that you should not give to your mom on Mother's Day. Well, somebody once said, I'm never having kids. I've heard it takes 9 months to download. Kids have answered some questions about their mom. And these are really interesting responses that these kids have provided. Why did God make mothers? Somebody wrote that she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Somebody else answering that same question as to why God made mothers says, well, God made mothers mostly to clean the house. And one other person said, God gave us mothers to help us out. And he knew that when we were getting born, we're going to need some help being born. So God sent mothers to help us out. Well, what ingredients are mothers made of? God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in this world. And one little dab of meanness. Somebody else wrote that God made ingredients for the mom. And when God started, she got started with men's bones because they are mostly strong. Somebody else said this about why did God give your mother and why did God use your mother? And God gave us moms because we're related. God knew she likes me more than other people's moms like me. Well, you know, you think about honoring your mom. And the origin of Mother's Day goes way back in our nation to the 1800s. Have you ever wondered where this tradition of celebrating Mother's Day took place? In 1864 in West Virginia, Anna Jarvis decided after the conclusion of the Civil War, as it was getting toward the end of the Civil War, that she wanted to honor her mother. Her mother shared the same name, Anna Marie Revis, and so she wanted to bless her mom, and so they had a special day set apart for her mom. You know, throughout her life, Anna Marie modeled the ideals of a Victorian mother. She gave up her dreams of going to college in order that she could take care of her older husband and her four children. She bore the loss of seven other children with grace. She taught Sunday school at the local Methodist church for 20 years, and she stayed very active doing benevolent work. Anna's mom's death in 1905 devastated her daughter. 2 years later, Anna got the idea and found a way of remembering her mother, and she set aside a very special day to do that. Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 in Grafton, West Virginia. And then the holiday was moved up to Philadelphia, where Anna lived her adult life. Later, a resolution was passed by Congress on May the 8th, 1914. And then the next day, May 9th, 1914, President Wilson signed into law that the second day of May would be Mother's Day. It's a holiday that we still celebrate today. So I want to share just a couple things with you today about how you can honor your mother. Why should we honor our mother? So here's the first one. Number one, the Word of God commands that we honor our mothers. As a matter of fact, that word honor, a very interesting word, is mentioned 145 times in the King James Version of the Bible. Way back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses writes these words, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you." Why should I do that? He gives us the reason, "that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you." He continues in Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon writing these words, "My son, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake the teachings of your mother." As you think about how we can bless our mothers, we should be blessing them because God's word commands us to bless them. In Proverbs 23:22, it says, "Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother, especially when she is old." You see, as you look at where we are as a culture, things are quickly changing. We are living in a day and age where honor is going out the window. We are living in a day and age where we feel that we should honor only those people that we like. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we realize that one of the signs of the end of the times is that in the last days, terrible things will come. Paul gives us a list of the terrible things that will come. He says men will be lovers of money, lovers of themselves. They're going to be boastful. They're going to be arrogant. They're going to be abusive. They're going to be disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. So as we look at where we are living as a culture, one of the signs of the time is that mothers will not be honored the way they should be. Now, I have got some really good news for you. As followers of Christ, we ought to be different. We ought to be marching to the beat of a different drum. As you think about God turning the hearts of the fathers back to their sons in Malachi chapter 3, we also discover that the same is happening as we see God turning hearts of the children back to their parents. So we are told that we should honor our mothers because the Word of God actually commands us to honor them. Well, here's the second thing when it comes to honoring your mom. You know, Jesus actually exemplified this honor. He honored his mother. In John chapter 19, Jesus is at the end of his life. As a matter of fact, he's actually on the cross. And on the cross, all of the disciples had abandoned him except for John. And John was probably there to be with Mary, Jesus' mother. When Jesus saw his mother, John 19:26, and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to that disciple, "John, here is your mother." And the scriptures tell us that from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So Jesus is there on the cross. Can you imagine the pain that he's experiencing? He is about to die for the sins of all of humanity. And as he's hanging on that cross, he looks down and he sees his mom, and he looks down and he sees John. In his state of honoring his mom, he says, "John, my mother is now your mother." Jesus is taking care of his mom while he's on the cross. You know, President William McKinley, when he was in office, getting toward the end of his term as president, word came to him that his mother was not doing well. A telegraph message said these simple words, "Your mom is not doing well." He responded in a telegraph message, "Tell mother I'll be there." Upon reading that story in the newspaper, Reverend Charles Fillmore wrote this song, Tell Mother I'll be there and answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, to her I tell. Tell Mother I'll be there. Heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. So we should honor our mothers because the Bible tells us that we should. Jesus exemplified it. And then number three, here's a very practical reason why we should honor our moms. Your mom, my mom, brought us into this world. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, it says, the man called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, isn't that a great name? The name Eve actually means the mother of all living. God decided to bring humanity into this world through a mom. You know, a mom today has that legal right to decide if she will bring you into this world. Your mom was pro-life. She decided to bring you into the world. She made a big sacrifice to bring you into the world. If she has done nothing else for you except to bring you into the world, she has given you the blessing of life. Your mom brought you into this world. You should honor her. You know, the Bible is very clear about honoring our mothers and fathers. Now, it doesn't say just to honor the good ones. It says to honor them because there's no such thing as a perfect mom. Every mom is imperfect. Every human being is imperfect. But your mom decided to bring you into this world. You're listening to this broadcast right now because your mom decided that she would bring life into you. And she brought you into this world, and what a blessing life is. Well, there's a fourth reason why we honor our moms, and this is another point that I think is really kind of practical, but sometimes we take it for granted. You know, our moms made tremendous sacrifices for us. In Hebrews chapter 11, you know the story of Moses, and that chapter 11 is a faith chapter. And this is what we learn about Moses, and we'll kind of confirm it with some of the things that's said about him in the book of Exodus. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Why did his parents hide him? Because they saw that he was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. In other words, Moses' mom and dad were willing to be at the contrary end of what the king expected them to do. They said, you know, we'd rather suffer under the king's edict and do what's right and preserve the life of our son. They put themselves at tremendous risk to bring Moses into the world. Now, God blessed his mom, Jochebed, because of this, and his mom actually got to continue to nurse him. And if you don't know that whole story, it's an amazing story of how God protected Moses because God had a big plan for Moses, but Moses' mom made some significant sacrifices for him. You know, according to a poll, most people underestimate the cost of having children. As a matter of fact, most people would say, you know, the cost of having a child today is about $5,000 a year. And they're totally wrong in their projections. So if you have children, I want you to have an awareness as to just how much it costs to have children today. You know, as parents, we make big sacrifices for our kids, and we hope that these sacrifices will be paid back one day. As a matter of fact, I used to kid around with my kids, and I would tell them, now listen, I'm taking really good care of you, so that one day, if I ever need to be in a nursing home, you better pick out a good one for me. And I would tell my kids often that we are so happy to make a sacrifice for you, but you know how much it costs to have a child from birth until they're 18? Studies have shown it costs $233,000+ to have a child from birth to 18. Well, now the age of adolescence now goes past 18, and now you are considered an adolescent all the way up to age 26. That's why you can stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26 years old. Well, I don't know about you, but the more I go through this thing called parenting, the more I feel like I owe an apology to my parents, especially to my mom. You think about what a mom does. They sacrifice their time and their emotions and their money and their relationships and their freedom and their social life, in some cases their career, food and personal life and all kinds of desires to have children. So we should rise up and say that we are blessed because of our moms and the sacrifice that they have made for us. It always amazes me as I am involved in prison ministry. On Father's Day, when visitation rolls around on Father's Day, very few dads come in to see their sons. But on Mother's Day, it is the busiest day of visitation within the correctional center. Moms will come and they never seem to give up on their children. That's the kind of love that a mom has. As a matter of fact, when God wants us to understand his unconditional love for us, I think most of us can see that unconditional love that God has for us through the eyes of our mother and how they sacrifice for us and how, even though we mess up often, they are still willing to forgive us. They are still willing to have a relationship with us. They are so patient and so long-suffering to us. Well, there's another reason I think that we should honor our mothers. It's because really our faith demands that we honor them. I want to look at a New Testament passage, and in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and as you know how the Bible is lined up, there's pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and these are books that are written to pastors and written on the subject of how a church ought to operate. Paul says to young Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, and then I'm going to look at verse number 8. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should first learn to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and their grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. So my faith demands that if I am a man of faith or a woman of faith, that one of the ways that my faith is flushed out is how I care for my mother and my grandmother, how I care for those when they get to that point where they can't care for themselves. That is the true test of my faith. Verse number 8. Now, Paul gets real specific here. And he says, if anyone does not provide for their relatives, he says, especially of those in their own household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. So my faith demands that I honor my mother and my father. If I am a person of faith, it should be seen in how I treat my family. You know, the strongest faith is lived out first at home. We have the opportunity to show our faith to our parents. We have the opportunity to honor our mother. What a blessing that is. Well, here's the sixth reason why we should honor our mothers. And number six is that disrespecting mom actually will cause death. You may never have thought about this, but this is what the Bible says. It's also found in the Old Testament, but Jesus repeats it in Matthew chapter 15. He says, for God commanded, and this is Matthew 15 verses 4 through 6, he says, God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Wow, this is some strong teaching, isn't it? But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Now, let me explain to you what Jesus is saying here. He's putting it right out there to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were trying to say, I cannot take care of my family, my mom and my dad. I can't bless them. And the reason I can't bless them is because I've given all this money to the church. All my resources have been given to the Lord's work, and now there's nothing left for me to take care of mom and dad. So Jesus says, for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. Now, this is a powerful thing. Disrespecting mom actually can cause death, and I believe it's spiritual death. I believe as we're looking at how we treat our parents, it is a reflection of the faith that we have in God, and that is even more important than the support of our local church. You know, originally the social service plan that God had in place was families taking care of families. And then if the family fell short and could not do that, then the church would step in, and then the government would step in. Now we've got things out of sync. As you think about caring for your mom and dad, when Sherry and I were married almost 31 years ago, if we make it to July, it'll be 31 years that we've been married. When we first got married, we both made a commitment. And we said, you know what? If either of our parents ever need a place to live, need any help financially, I need any help in any way, we are going to be first to take care of them. We'll offer them to live with us if they need to live with us, because we looked at it that we have a debt to our parents that we can never repay no matter how much we reinvest in them. You see, our faith demands that. Our faith demands that if we love our parents, we should be respectful of them. And I know sometimes this is a hard one because many of you don't have good parents. And so you're thinking that that's an opportunity for me not to be respectful. And I know sometimes as you look at a parent getting older and you can't physically take care of them, and so you want to make sure if they have to be in a nursing home that you are providing for their health, you are being the one that is mediator for them as they're in a facility. But that doesn't relinquish you of that opportunity to take care of them and be respectful for them. Well, there's a seventh reason why we should be involved in honoring our mother. And this is a very important one. And maybe you've never even thought about this, but you know, people are always looking at us. As followers of Christ, people are always looking at us. We're getting ready to open up our church again at the end of this coronavirus, even though we're still in the thick of the coronavirus. We're going to be opening up in a couple weeks, and we're spending 2 weeks getting ready for the reopening. And we're going above and beyond what is expected of us as a church to make sure that we are safe as we gather. And one of the reasons that we're doing that is because we know that the world is looking at the church. And the world is looking for an opportunity to say, you know, the church messed up. They didn't take precautions. So we don't want to give them that opportunity. You know, when it comes to loving our parents, loving moms, honoring moms, the world needs to see that modeled. They're not modeling it within the world. We have this opportunity as followers of Christ to provide this model. This is what it says in Proverbs 31, verses 28 and 29. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Many years ago, I had a picture of my mom on Facebook, and I says, if you want a definition of a Proverbs 31 woman, here's a picture of one who is a Proverbs 31 woman. When you think about the difficulty of having children and the difficulty, especially in this day and age, I'm kind of glad that my kids are older now and that they don't have to go through the raising of the kids. And my youngest is going to be 20 in just a matter of a few months. And we're so blessed that all of our children are adults, and thankfully they're all doing well. But maybe you feel like, what do I do with my wayward son, and how do I respond to somebody who is a wayward child? Well, you know, at the age of 19, Abraham Piper, who is the son of the well-known pastor and author John Piper, decided that he was going to walk away from his faith. For 4 years, in his own words, he says, I just wanted to drink gallons of cheap alcohol and sleep around. Of course, his parents were brokenhearted and baffled. After 4 years of living as a prodigal son, Abraham returned to the Lord and was reunited with his family. Based on his experience, he offers the following advice to mothers and fathers of wayward children. Number one, he says, don't expect them to be Christ-like. If your son is not a Christian, he's not going to act like one. And it's hypocrisy for you to expect him to act like a Christian if he doesn't know the Savior. His most dangerous problem is unbelief, not partying. No matter how your child's behavior improves in his unbelief, always be sure to focus more on his heart sickness than on the symptoms. So if you have a wayward child, I want you to fervently pray for them. Don't expect them to be Christ-like if they don't know Christ. Here's a second opinion that he offers up if you have a wayward son that is coming home. He says, welcome them home. If he has any inkling to be with you, don't make it hard on him. Welcome him home. And I know you've got to set up parameters and you have to set up guidelines for them to come back home, but you should welcome them back home, realizing that there's rules they've got to obey, there's rules they've got to follow, but they need to be welcomed back home. You know, I think about the story of the prodigal son. As you know, the prodigal son lived a riotous life. When he finally got the end of all of his means, he ends up in a pig pen. Can you imagine a Jewish young man feeding this slop and he's not being offered anything to eat? Well, the Bible says that he comes to his senses. In essence, says in the back of his mind, how many of my father's servants have it much better than I do? And so I kind of envision in the back of my mind this young man saying, you know what? I've really messed up. Maybe my dad will take me back not as a son, but will take me back as a servant. He says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to beg for my dad to forgive me. And I'm going to say, well, maybe he could put me in the room over the garage and maybe he can make me one of his servants. So this prodigal son begins walking home. And I love the response of that father. The father never went into that pig pen to rescue his son, but when he saw his son a far way, as he saw his son coming home, he runs to him. Now, I kind of get a picture in my mind as I see this dad running toward his son. Now, I don't know about you, but I always find it kind of humorous to watch older people run. I can imagine this guy hiking up his robe and running toward his son. You know, that father didn't allow that son to get a long speech out. That father didn't have a whole lot of expectation back from his son. He saw him turning back toward home and accepted him. Well, there's one more thing that we need to understand when it comes to honoring our mother and our fathers. It blesses me. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with thee. You say, you think as promise that is given to us, it's a good life, it's a long life, and it's a life that is filled with enlightenment. So I want to encourage you to honor your mom today. I know we're past Mother's Day, but it's not too late to honor her today. So Father, we come before you today and we praise you for our moms. We thank you that they brought us into this world. We pray that we will honor them and respect them. We thank you for the opportunity for your word to speak to us today. I pray that we will grow in your grace, and I pray that we will just be the followers of Christ that you've asked us to be. We pray believing that you can make us the children that you want us to be, and we thank you for the moms that you have brought into our lives. We pray that we will honor them and lift them up, not just on Mother's Day, but throughout the year. We love you, Lord, and praise you for all you've done and all you're going to do. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.